KKMS Live with Jeff and Lee, weekdays from 3 to 6 p.m.
It's KKMS Live with Jeff and Lee, AM 980 KKMS, more spirited talk radio, 3 to 6. We are here Monday through Friday. We also stream on the internet at KKMS.com. Actually, all of our ministry programs can be heard 24/7 at KKMS.com. We have our audio archives available there as well. Any segments from our show that you hear, if you missed us talking with the Iraqi pastor earlier today, you can go down and download it. Fascinating to see the way the church is growing there in Iraq, and some of the good stories coming out of there and how appreciative they are to have us there. I'm Lee Michaels.
And I'm Jeff Schell. And our next guest is Fred Lewis. He's semi-retired, and he's a U.S. Army Vietnam veteran. Thank you for serving. And he's the author of Understanding the Bible and End Times, and it's really the result of nearly a 30-year pursuit to understand the Bible, especially end times. So welcome to KKMS Live. It's nice to have you here with us, Fred.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. And you've got a book signing tonight, too, at the Borders Bookstores in Midway?
Yes, right on University in Hamlin.
There in St. Paul.
And we've got a copy of the book here that we'll give away at the end of the interview, and so stand by for that. We'll tell you when to call in regarding that. But let's talk about your book, why don't we discuss the methodology or the approach that you took to understand the Bible and end times?
Well, I'd probably have to back up to the late 70s, early 80s. I kind of got the bug on end times when I read a book by Hal Lindsey. Late Great Planet Earth.
Yep.
Sold 10 million copies in that decade of the 70s. And I had become a stockbroker in 1972. And from 1972 to 1974, the stock market on the Dow Jones Industrial Average went from 1,000 down to 577. And, of course, in 74, we had the oil embargo and the long gas lines. And then interest rates shot up to all-time record highs. And gold shot up to $850 an ounce and back down less than $200. Silver went from $4 up to $47 and back down below $4. And
a little unstable.
It looked like we were in the end times any minute. And that was sort of the upshot of Hal's book. He followed that up in 1980s with a book called 1980s Countdown to Armageddon, and basically kind of scared a lot of people half out of their wits, roving marauding bands of bandits and so forth like that. Well, I was a Vietnam veteran. I figured, well, I'm an expert on the M14, M16. And I fired the M60, the M79 grenade launcher, and I was on the 45 caliber pistol team, you know, and I got my third child was born in 1979. But then later, I was a little embarrassed with these types of thoughts. By the mid-80s, we found out that was all wrong.
So I
sort of got the bug back then to try to figure out end times. And I have a dispensational Baptist background. My wife has a Lutheran covenant background, and I studied both those systems, a little bit. And then we joined a covenant church in the early 80s, which I really got down to study with the preacher. He was a tremendous teacher. We had a weekly Bible class that a bunch of us studied in for about 5 or 6 years. But I couldn't figure out the end times. I read a lot of books on the topics, and I just couldn't come up with any real believable scenario that would fit Scripture. And in the preface to my book, I explain about a little luncheon meeting that I had with a friend of mine by the name of Dave. And he had gotten through a providential chain of events, he had come across a little booklet written back in the 30s titled Simple as Can Be. And it talks about salvation, and it should be quite simple, you would think. But the booklet shows that depending on who you talk to, you could get quite a variety of different systems of how to be saved. But through that, through the simplifying of that salvation message, the same foundation that you would use to simplify that message, I was able to translate over and to simplify the end time scenario to where it took about 20 years, but I finally, and I'm not saying I have all the answers. I'm the first to admit that. I'm not trained. I don't have any theology training. I'm strictly a layman. But I have learned that the Bible was written in the everyday Greek, Koine Greek language. In the second part of my book, I talk about how the confusion in the church that I at least observe with 400 different denominations, how that has really come about. And I sort of explain, I think, why that happened and why you don't probably need a PhD to understand the Bible. In fact, it may be detrimental.
There are a number of educated idiots.
Yeah, and we do see, when we talk about eschatology, I mean, there's many different viewpoints out there. I mean, there's from the Left Behind books, people got a good picture of of a pre-trib rapture. There's people that follow a mid-trib rapture and a post-trib rapture, and how Armageddon and the battles come to place, and what are the events, and what order do they happen? Is it a little translation or figurative in, you know, the four horsemen and all these different things? In your study, have you what are some of your simplifications? Or
well, that litany that you just described is why it took me so long, why I couldn't come to. You know, there's even there's a Jewish fellow by the name of Rosenthal who came up with the pre-wrath rapture. If you want to, that's a fourth view that came along back. You know, and I bought his book maybe 15, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. But essentially, and the other thing, you know, with the recent crisis in Lebanon with Israel,
right,
and then with the president of Iran saying that, you know, Israel should be blown off the map, you know, men, women,
right,
and children should be just, we should just exterminate
pushed into
them.
The sea, yeah,
you know, it's shocking. And is this leading us into the end time? Should we be start to be concerned? I do believe that there's going to be a pre-tribulational rapture. Clear that for your listeners. I believe that's very scriptural. I believe is according to 1 Thessalonians 1, chapter 1 and chapter 5, that we are not appointed unto wrath. I believe that we're going to be spared from the wrath to come. And there's many other reasons why I believe that pre-trib rapture.
I'm with you on that one, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
It simplifies a lot of things that you have to change around if you're going to come up with any other interpretation. But I entertain the rest of them as well. I'm open to
exactly.
Listen to them. Certainly.
We don't know these things, and it's not the kind of thing to get into a fist fight over.
No. It doesn't change my salvation.
No, it doesn't. But
exactly. That's a good, very, very good point right there.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the attitude a lot of people have on end times. They say, well, you know, I'm probably not going to be here anyway. What difference does it make?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you think about it, if there is a pre-trib rapture that occurs, then that's your last opportunity to witness to your friends and relatives and neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be facing the wrath to come, according to my interpretation of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to spare them from it. So possibly knowing what they might be facing, and then even writing some stuff down, like I didn't plan to have it published into a book, but I wanted it left behind in case something happened to me that my relatives that didn't make it would have something to refer to, and maybe they could get some sense of what's going on and perhaps join us anyway, you know.
Amen, yeah. It's KKMS Live with Jeff and Lee. In studio with us, Fred Lewis. He's an author of Understanding the Bible and End Times. He also has a book signing this evening, 7 o'clock, at the Borders Books in St. Paul on Snelling and Hamlin there in St. Paul. Thank you for joining us in studio. 651-289-4499 is our number.
Well, why don't we get into it? Why don't we talk about some of the events that are going to occur in the end times, and maybe you can describe some of those things that you've found. Some of these things, I mean, we've already talked about, we know these things, but it's fascinating to talk about them, especially in light of things that are going on right now, and maybe some of these things might portend some of those things that are going to occur. So why don't you tell us about some of the events that are going to occur in the end times?
Well, first off, I probably better clarify that I do see a simplified concept in Scripture that separates the heavenly program from the earthly program. Mm-hmm. We don't have time to get all into this, but by doing that, that is sort of the simplified concept that I ran across with my friend Dave at lunch back with the Simple as Can Be brochure. And by doing that, I believe that there is no prophecy that is being fulfilled today. I believe that the prophetic clock stopped in the first century along about the time Paul was writing his prison epistles. We read in 2 Timothy 1:15 that all those in Asia have left me. And I believe at that time the distinctive message and ministry of the Apostle Paul was lost. And I believe that plunged the world, literally, and Christendom certainly, into the Dark Ages, as we refer to them now. And it wasn't until the 1500s, 16th century, that we started the Reformation and began to recover these truths. Not only did we lose the distinctive message and ministry of the Apostle Paul, but we lost the pre-tribulational rapture of the church. We lost the difference between Israel and the church. We lost the faith alone in Christ alone message that Martin Luther, among others, recovered in the 1500s. And then in the 1800s, we got back the pre-tribulational rapture of the church. And, of course, the critics say, well, that's not a That's not an old topic. That's something that they drummed up new in the 1800s. Well, back, you can trace it right back to the first century, and I have taken the time to read a lot of writings that have been done in the earlier church fathers and so forth. So we got the faith alone and Christ alone back in the 1500s. We got the pre-tribulation rapture of the church back through, Darby and a number of others. It was in the Scofield Reference Bible in the early 1900s, mm-hmm. and you started to see it. And then we got back between the difference between the church and Israel, made that distinction again. And then in the 30s, we had began what's referred to today as the Grace Movement. It's very much unknown among most denominational churches that I have visited. And men like Cornelius Stamm, Charles Baker, John O'Hare, these have all passed on now, began to see that the distinctive message and ministry of the Apostle Paul is definitely the key to being able to understand the Bible and separate the heavenly program from the earthly program. And just to summarize it, I believe that Christ's earthly ministry was a earthly plan with the 12 apostles to bring an earthly kingdom that had been prophesied since we can go back all the way to Exodus 19 and find that the mm-hmm. nation Israel is promised they become a kingdom of priests. So the kingdom was starting to be talked about. It's all through the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. And, of course, all they needed to do was to trust in their Messiah, accept their Messiah, and be water baptized. And this kingdom, Peter says in his second Pentecostal address in Acts 3, that he would send Christ, God would send Christ back for the times of refreshing. And we know that that didn't happen because the persecution started to become even more relentless in Acts 4. And by the time we get to the stoning of Stephen in Acts 7, it looks like the devil has maybe had his way and there's Israel is not going to be converted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's at that stoning of Stephen, which we find that God shifted and changed the program and put the earthly plan on hold and began the heavenly program. He took probably the worst persecutor of the early Christians at that time, Saul of Tarsus. He was on the way to Damascus, breathing out mm-hmm. threatenings and slaughter and ready to really go after him. And he was struck down and given salvation on the road to Damascus. And through analyzing his 13 epistles, and possibly 14 if you include Hebrews. There's a good discussion point. We don't have time for it. That's a big one.
Right.
But we find the heavenly plan is unfolded. And it's very clear, I believe, from Acts 15 and Galatians 2, that the two programs of God, the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of the grace of God, where's the differentiation? And there we have the difference between Israel and the church, and we also have the distinctive message and ministry of the Apostle Paul.
Well, let's talk about that on the other side of the break.
It's KKMS Live with Jeff and Lee. Fred Lewis is our guest, author of Understanding the Bible and End Times. He'll have a book signing tonight, too, at Borders Books in St. Paul. It's KKMS Live with Jeff and Lee.
AM 980 KKMS, more spirited talk radio.
AM 980 KKMS, more spirited talk radio. KKMS Live with Jeff and Lee. Lee Michaels.
And Jeff Schell.
Thanks for joining us. 651-289-4499. Joining us in studio, Fred Lewis. He's written a book called Understanding the Bible and the End Times. Very interesting topic. He also has a book signing tonight at Borders in St. Paul. We've got links up at the website, too. Go to kkms.com with information on the book and Fred as well.
And we'll give a copy of the book at the end of the show. But let's talk a little bit about what's going to unfold as you have studied the Bible. What do you see unfolding in terms of rapture, tribulation, those kinds of events?
Okay, I guess I just preface a little bit by saying that I want to assure people that want to study it that I believe they can find that there is no prophecy that's being fulfilled today. In mm-hmm. other words, the things that are happening around us, I'm not saying that it wouldn't set the stage for a future mm-hmm. day, but I believe that the rapture of the body of Christ will happen after the fullness of the Gentiles is come in. And that is in Romans 11, 25, and 26. And at that point, all Israel will be saved. And I believe it's going to take the tribulation to bring Israel to her feet and to her knees, mm-hmm. and for her to embrace her Messiah.
And Zechariah, is that when the 144,000 are turned?
Okay, remind me of that in just a minute, because that does come into play here. After the fullness of the Gentiles become in, and the Greek word for fullness is pleroma, and it has the idea of the full complement or the full number of Gentiles and Jews alike being brought into the body of Christ. Only God knows that number. It could happen during this broadcast. It could happen 100 years from now. And it doesn't, just because the president of Iran says he's going to destroy Israel doesn't mean that it's any closer. Mm-hmm. It's a numbers game with God. And so I believe that the events that are happening around us are all Satan's attempts to destroy Israel, destroy us. He hates everything that God has created. Mm-hmm. And, of course, human beings are the highest creation. So he would like to kill all of us. And you can see this with suicide bombers and terrorism. What is the main theme with that quest? It's death. And the other weapon that Satan has is hate and lies. And you see that just fluidly throughout the entire world, the globe at this time. So after the fullness of the Gentiles become in, God will bring his ambassadors home through the rapture of that body, praise God. And then the seven-year tribulation will begin, although Sir Robert Anderson about 100 years ago said that it could be 100 years between the, or in fact, he said it could be 1,000 years between the rapture and the beginning of the tribulation without violating any scripture. Mm-hmm. But most of us think that it's going to be pretty quick. In fact, it could be the same. It could be instantaneous. But the seven-year tribulation will be a tremendous time of opportunity for the gospel, the kingdom, to get out to the world, because the Antichrist is going to make a covenant with Israel, Daniel 9, for 7 years. He's going to break that covenant in the middle of the 7 years. Mm-hmm. And that's the 42 months that Christ warned about, that this tribulation, the great tribulation, that's going to be like never before or never after. And, of course, at that time, the 144,000, I believe, will be the first Jewish converts. Now, remember, the blindness in part is going to happen to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles. That's going to prompt a rapture. So now here's Israel. The millions of Christians are gone, and they have their enemies lapping right down their throat. I mean, they're just really ready to get them. All these world leaders that are talking about destroying Israel ought to do it at their own peril, even today, because in Zechariah, we read where God says that he's going to come against those nations that try to destroy Israel. So they better be a little careful about that. They're toying with God, and it's no contest. But we will see what's going to happen with that after the rapture. Well, I think we'll be able to probably stay tuned and be able to watch these events, hopefully. And but in terms of the Jews, the two witnesses, I believe, are going to be on the scene first, because we know that they are martyred and taken up to heaven midway in the tribulation, and they prophesy for 42 months, according to Revelation 11. If you bring back 42 months, that brings you to the first part. Mm-hmm. And they're going to prophesy, and I believe it's the gospel of the kingdom that's going to be preached by the two witnesses. 144,000 Jewish young evangelists, the seven churches the seven churches pop up in Asia, and the gospel of the kingdom is going to have a very good chance of going around the world in that first 3.5 years, and I believe that it will happen.
Interesting. We've got about a minute left. What would you like to communicate in the last minute that we have here? Obviously, by the way, Fred will be tonight at Borders Bookstore over in the Midway area, University in Hamlin, I believe. So plan to see him tonight. If you can make it over there, he'll get an autographed copy of the book. But what would you like to summarize with in terms of the message you'd like to communicate with the audience right now?
Well, we'll try to stay on the theme of end times, but I realized quite a number of years ago that in order to understand end times, you had to understand the Bible. Mm-hmm. And so I do cover quite a bit of, I take a whole trip through the Bible in part three of my book. And I'm going to say this also, I believe in order to understand the Bible, you have to be saved. I think you have to be baptized into that body of Christ by the Spirit. I think you have to be indwelt by the Spirit.
Right.
I think a lot of things are spiritually discerned. And that way you don't miss the rapture either.
You have
heaven, an eternity with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I believe that that's the most important thing that I could communicate. That's the reason I wrote the book.
Amen.
And don't wait.
Don't wait.
Don't wait to share the gospel. Absolutely. That sense of urgency.
Thank you so much for coming in. Fred Lewis is our guest.
AM 980 KKNS, more spirited talk radio.